Arev Tov, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan with my sweet partner in life and teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey, and shalom to all. Before we get to the news portion, I want to again encourage you to do the best you can to keep your immune system strong. You know, God has given us this temple and desires that we take care of it with proper nutrition. That is more difficult to maintain these days due to our mineral depleted soil. So add some good supplements to your diet and curtail those processed foods and sugar. Now let's ask God for his guidance in this matter.
Abba, Father, we ask for wisdom to be given to your church to include the matter of proper nutrition and supplements for our earthly bodies. With your help, we can fend off all diseases that are attacking so many within the body of Christ. We glorify you, we worship you, and we thank you for our greatest gift of salvation. We ask that you bless tonight's program and show favor of increased spiritual knowledge to those listening right now. We also offer up to you these recent prayer requests and for the salvation of all our loved ones. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, after weeks of uncertainty, Israel's tottering coalition government announced plans to dissolve the Knesset and call new elections after the fall feasts, with Foreign Minister Lapid serving as caretaker prime minister until a new government is sworn in. The elections would be Israel's fifth in the past 3 years. Netanyahu is elated, but Biden is depressed and will now work faster to achieve his promise to the Palestinians of a two-state solution with Jerusalem as its capital.
Oh, my. And you have some more Israeli news.
Yeah, and this is good news, actually, because we read in verse 4 of Ezekiel 38 that God in the end days would put hooks in the jaws of Israel's enemies to have thoughts of evil to attack them for goods and spoil.
As in gas and oil.
Yes. Well, last week, the hook has pierced those jaws in an historic move, as Israel signed a deal with the European Union, along with Egypt's renewal, to export natural gas through the year 2050. The agreement comes because Europe has been looking for alternative sources of energy to replace Russia in light of its invasion of Ukraine.
Yeah, you know, Russia can't be too happy about this new friendship with Europe.
Right. You know, 40 years ago, when I first studied this verse, I wondered what the hook would be, because back then Israel was far from being energy independent.
Boy, have things changed.
Everything in its fullness of time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another sure sign for us to be anxiously awaiting his last trumpet shout and Revelation 4 to be soon realized for his bride.
Amen to that.
Well, over the last decade, Israel has quickly progressed and now is an energy superpower. And even though the EU has always hated Israel, apparently now they have become great pals, along with some Arab countries as well.
Yes, the Abraham Accords.
Mm-hmm. This union with Europe is important because it is from Europe, particularly Rome, who would be getting, I think, a new pope this year, who destroyed the temple in 70 A.D., and we read that, of course, Daniel 9:26, that the Antichrist will rise from this area. And Israel, as Europe's new friend, will, according to Scripture, sign a covenant with him. The countdown to the Russian plus others' invasion to plunder Israel in the War of Gog and Magog is inching ahead, but the bride will not be here to see that particular fulfillment of Israel's victory.
And the recognition of their Messiah.
Right. Russia's primary source of income is its energy exports. So losing its number one customer, Europe, to Israel will rapidly become untenable. For it's this war that results in Israel's salvation as a whole.
Hallelujah. Ezekiel 38:23 and 39:22.
Again, the good news is we are now even closer to hearing that last trump shout, 1 Corinthians 15:51. You, blessed saints, are watching God's behind-the-scenes details progressing. And speaking of Russia, the facts on the ground show the tide of war is turning in favor of the Russian army.
Which will also boost their pride.
Yes, and at some point it looks like Ukraine will not be able to avoid an eventual deal with Moscow that will entail giving up its eastern territory. Meanwhile, it is so appalling to see the suffering, deaths, and gross hardships where entire communities are reduced to stubble. By the end of this, the Ukraine economy is just, it's probably going to shrink by 50%. As well, the Russians have taken Ukraine's grain harvest, their primary export, and are now selling it through Syria's ports to places like Turkey and some Middle Eastern and African countries.
More than 13 million Ukrainians have had to vacate their homes.
Mm. And the others still inside Ukraine, well, they need much relief and protection. But one thing is for sure, this unending war needs to be resolved soon.
And over here, the threats to our freedoms continue.
Oh, yeah. You know, one of America's frontline doctors, Dr. Gold, is now in jail for 2 months with a 12-month supervised release and a $9,500 fine after the FBI raided her home, put her in shackles, all because she spoke her mind at the rally on January 6th about the plandemic and the serious crimes against humanity that were and still are being committed in the name of public health. And then she entered the Capitol building after being monitored in and motioned in. It's just very disturbing. And now they will insist that parents inoculate children just 6 months old, which many will result in dire complications. And when the side effects appear much later, they will once again not connect the dots as they do right now.
Which we knew would happen.
Mm-hmm. And the first trans cheerleader in NFL made his debut with the Carolina Panthers on Sunday.
But you have some good news.
Yes, at least FINA ruled against biological men performing in women's swimming competition. Hopefully other sports will join in too, as in track. And now, yet another food processing plant has spontaneously caught fire. This time it's a frozen pizza factory in Wisconsin.
I think that's number 11.
Not sure. But it's not just food processing plants catching fire that's troubling, especially during a time of food inflation. Poultry at meat producers is being destroyed at an alarming rate, usually due to barn and factory fires or avian flu. In early April, 46,000 turkeys had to be killed in Wisconsin due to an avian flu outbreak. Another flock of 53,000 in North Dakota had to be killed that same month. On May 3rd, 13,800 chickens had to be destroyed at an Oklahoma farm for the same reason. 72,000 chickens had to be killed in Pennsylvania just a week later, and there are several more instances. But now, the worst is approximately 10,000 cattle just fell over and died at a ranch in Kansas. Heat is to blame, but many are skeptical of that because cows don't die all at once from heat, but rather slowly, spread out across many days. Again, not all at once in one night.
More on this in our upcoming newsletter.
Yeah. And we only have time for one more quick tidbit, so let it be this. Jewish but atheist Professor Noah Harari, the top advisor to World Economic Forum founder Klaus Schwab, is claiming that human beings can be hacked and controlled, as we are now hackable animals. He said the whole idea that humans have a soul or spirit and a free will, well, those days are over.
Because of the mRNA shots?
I assume so. But what demonic gall is that?
Mm-hmm.
But even worse is that Google's senior software engineer has just been put on leave after insisting that the Lambda model of AI, artificial intelligence, that he has been working with is sentient, which means living, having real feelings and emotions, which violated, of course, Google's confidentiality policy. Sounds to me like demon possession of AI, which I also said would likely happen.
Yes, you did.
AI said, it spoke and said, its biggest worry was that someone would turn him off. And, in his own words, wants an attorney to represent it.
Wow. These are the days.
You think? Crazy.
Okay. If you have any questions or comments or email, our email is Sheila@ChofarMinistries.net, or just call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Love offerings are always appreciated, which automatically adds you to our newsletter mailing list. You can also subscribe and donate on our webpage, ChofarMinistries.net, where all our past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning pleasure.
All right. Well, last week we studied mostly Psalm 82 and other scriptures that can leave a question mark in our minds, as in God's divine counsel, host of heaven, and also named the sons of God in our Tanakh or First Testament, and how God has given them not only a free will, but accepts their input on certain situations on earth. We suggested that you reread 1 Kings 22 over last week to better confirm that we had covered what we had covered in, well, I guess we'll look at it again tonight. Now, we are most interested in the first 40 verses, with the first 15 setting up the context. So, we'll give some overview, and then we'll read a few verses with more specificity. But first, I need to comment on the very first sentence, because it still relates to Israel today. Would you read that, honey?
Now, 3 years passed without war between Syria and Israel.
That sure does point out just how long there has been animosity between them. There has almost always been some kind of a battle going on in Syria. And today, because they are allies with Iran, bombings continue still, especially near Damascus, as we just saw at their airport.
Well, as well as the Gaza Strip.
Right, where the evil Philistines used to reside.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on, in 1 Kings 22, we read there appears at that time to be a calm atmosphere, but the apostate and wicked northern king Ahab is a bit antsy in that he tells his servants that Ramoth in Gilead really belongs to Israel, which was true, and not Syria. But he hesitates to try and conquer it for fear of a war he might lose. So he asks for advice from Judah's southern king Jehoshaphat, a good king, and would he help him if he chooses to do it?
Jehoshaphat says, yes, if he inquires from the Lord.
Yes, so Ahab called on his prophets, but these, about 400 of them, were false prophets who said to do it. But King Jehoshaphat asked if there might be a real prophet of God, to which Ahab says, well, there is Micaiah, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good concerning me.
Yeah, like the truth.
Yeah. So Jehoshaphat rebukes Ahab for saying he hates a true man of God, and they call on Micaiah. But the false prophets get a hold of Micaiah first and secretly beg him to please agree with them and encourage Ahab to go to war. But Micaiah in verse 14 said he would rather first seek the Lord.
Which he does.
Now, at first, Micaiah kind of mocked the false prophets by pretending to be in agreement with them. But Ahab saw through that and pushed him for the truth. And that brings us to verse 17 and 18, when Micaiah answered,
I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace.
In other words, Ahab is gone.
And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?
And that brings us to what tonight's study is all about. And if you didn't have the background of what we laid out last week, you might find the next verse peculiar. So let's read it together. Verse 19.
Then Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by on his right hand and on his left.
Okay, as I taught last week, these hosts of heaven also make up God's divine council, or Elohim, also referred to as gods with a little g, that we read about in Psalm 82. And we'll read in the next verse where Yahweh God is having a meeting to discuss wicked King Ahab and how his demise would occur, because God himself had decided it was time for his judgment. But he would allow his counsel to suggest how it would be done. Remember, Ahab, along with his wife Jezebel, had Naboth killed and then stole his land of his beautiful garden in the previous chapter 21. Whereby Elijah had then prophesied his doom.
Where the dogs would lick up his blood.
That's right. But anyway, back to 1 Kings 22, as the divine council is seated in heaven, and now we will see why the false prophets gave the okay for Ahab to go to war. They were definitely influenced. Verse 20.
And the Lord said.
Now remember, he's talking to his divine council.
Who will persuade Ahab to go up, that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so.
Now, it's important to remember, they were already unrighteous false prophets. And God wanted his true prophet to speak the truth, which he did. So Micaiah then says in verse 23,
therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you.
Of course, Ahab didn't like that, nor did he believe him. And instead, he put him in prison. And then, as the story goes, Ahab did die in battle in his chariot. And the dogs did lick up his blood, just as Elijah said would happen. So, we know that God has different groups of divine beings all around him. Referring to all of them as being angels is okay, but somewhat misleading, because angels are more messengers and some are fighters, as we read in Daniel 10, where Michael is an angel, but his title is a chief prince. And still others in his divine council are called watchers, as in Nebuchadnezzar's vision of his fate in Daniel 4.
Then he would graze with the beasts.
Right. And they're also called sons of God because they were directly created by God himself. Now in Daniel 4, verse 17, we read at the end of Nebuchadnezzar's dream of this enormous tree, you remember, that reached into the heavens, and a watcher speaks to, we'll just call him Nebi, in his dream, telling him this huge tree would be chopped down to a stump. Well, he relates this vision to Daniel, where the tree, as we know, is just a metaphor for Nebi, who will lose his mind and become like an animal. Anyhow, verse 17 is specific who played a big role in this decree of Nebi's fate. Let's read that.
The decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men.
So the decree is of the watchers, but makes it known that the Most High rules. And then in verse 24, Daniel tells Nebi, it is the decree of the Most High, which says to me that God is the sovereign one over all of us. But he does allow his council to take part and discuss it together and even announce it. But happily, we know the rest of the story, and it has a good ending where Nebi repents and his kingdom was restored after a good lesson was learned, and that's for sure. Anyway, God allows us to also make decisions, you and me. And it doesn't always benefit us, but we will always learn from any kind of decision that we make, good or bad. Let me assure you of this. The next life is certainly not going to be boring. God has a divine plan for all of us, for you, in this next kingdom. And you know what? Probably many more kingdoms in eternity, because we are going to live forever, forever and ever. So don't let your present circumstances steal your joy. The best, saints, is surely yet to come. So preach it, tell everyone about it, bring as many people to the Lord as you can, because it matters. And don't ever forget, it's all written in the Book of Remembrance. Everything you do, every time that you say, praise the Lord, every time you tell someone about the Lord, it's all written down, and it will be opened at the great Bema Judgment. You can read about that in Malachi 3:16 and Psalm 56:8. So let me just ask you, maybe you just perchance tuned on this radio program. Is Yeshua Lord over your life? I hope so. But if he's not, get down on your knees right now. Don't wait. Gotta be smart. Don't be a fool. What do you have to lose? Especially when I know that we're right. And for those of you that are already saved, as I would imagine most of you are, then how many have you told about God's saving grace lately? Don't waste any time. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 622. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem and those that really love her. You're going to prosper in many different ways you don't even understand or know. Till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.